Page 303, Book 8. Chapter 1, How Sir Tristram de Lyonis was born, and how his mother died at his birth, wherefore she named him Tristram. It was a king that hight Meliodas, and he was lord and king of the country of Lyonis. And this Meliodas was a likely knight, as any was that time living. And by fortune he wedded King Mark's sister of Cornwall, and she was called Elizabeth, that was called both good and fair. And at that time King Arthur reigned, and he was whole king of England, Wales, and Scotland, and of many other realms. Howbeit there were many kings that were lords of many countries, but all they held their lands of King Arthur. For in Wales were two kings, and in the north were many kings, and in Cornwall and in the west were two kings. Also in Ireland were two or three kings, and all were under the obeisance of King Arthur. So was the king of France, and the king of Brittany, and all the lordships unto Rome. So when this Meliodas had been with his wife, within a while she waxed great with child, and she was a full meek lady, and well she loved her lord, and he her again, so there was great joy betwixt them. Then there was a lady in that country that had loved King Meliodas long, and by no mean she never could get his love, therefore she let ordain upon a day, as King Meliodas rode on hunting, for he was a great chaser, and thereby an enchantment she made him chase and hart, by himself alone, till that he came to an old castle. And there anon he was taken prisoner by the lady that him loved. When Elizabeth, King Meliodas' wife, note 1, missed her lord, and she was nigh out of her wit, and also as great with child as she was, she took a gentlewoman with her and ran into the forest to seek her lord. Page 304. And when she was far in the forest, she might no further, for she began to travail fast of her child, and she had many grimly throes. Her gentlewoman help her all that she might, and so by miracle of Our Lady of Heaven she was delivered with great pains. But she had taken such cold for the default of help, that deep draughts of death took her, that needs she must die and depart out of this world, there was none other boot. And when this Queen Elizabeth saw there was none other boot, then she made great dole, and said unto her gentlewoman, When you see my lord King Meliodas, recommend me unto him, and tell him what pains I endure here for his love, and how I must die here for his sake for default of good help. And let him wit that I am full sorry to depart out of this world from him. Therefore pray him to be friend to my soul. Now let me see my little child, for whom I have had all this sorrow. And when she saw him, she said thus, Ah, my little son, thou hast murdered thy mother, and therefore, I suppose, thou that art a murderer so young, thou art full likely to be a manly man in thine age. And because I shall die of the birth of thee, I charge thee, gentlewoman, that thou pray my lord King Meliodas, that when he is christened let him call him Tristram, that is as much to say as a sorrowful birth. And therewith this queen gave up the ghost, and died. Then the gentlewoman laid her under an umbra, note, of great tree, and then she lapped the child as well as she might for cold. The note at the bottom of the page reads, Umbra, meaning shadow. Return to text. Right so there came the barons following after the queen, and when they saw that she was dead and understood none other but the king, was destroyed. Page 305. Book 8, Chapter 2. Chapter 2. How the stepmother of Sir Tristram had ordained poison for her to have poisoned Sir Tristram. Then certain of them would have slain the child, because they would have been lords of the country of Lyonis. But then, through the fair speech of the gentlewoman, and by the means that she made, the most of the barons would not assent thereto. And then they let carry home the dead queen, and much dole was made for her. Then this meanwhile Merlin delivered King Meliodas out of prison on the morn after his queen was dead. And so when the king was come home, the most part of the barons made great joy. But the sorrow that the king made for his queen, that might no tongue tell. So then the king let inter her richly, and after he let christen his child as his wife had commanded afore her death, and then he let call him Tristram, the sorrowful born child. Then the king Meliodas endured 7 years without a wife, and all this time Tristram was nourished well. Then it befell that King Meliodas wedded King Howell's daughter of Brittany, and anon she had children of King Meliodas. Then she was heavy and wroth that her children should not rejoice the country of Leonis, wherefore this queen ordained for to poison young Tristram. So she let poison be put in a piece of silver in the chamber, whereas Tristram and her children were together, unto that intent that when Tristram were thirsty he should drink that drink. And so it fell upon a day, the queen's son, as he was in that chamber, espied the piece with poison, and he weened it had been good drink, and because the child was thirsty, he took the piece with poison and drank freely, and therewithal suddenly the child brast and was dead. When the queen of Meliodas wist of the death of her son, wit ye well that she was very heavy. But yet the king understood nothing of her treason. Notwithstanding, the queen would not leave this, but she let ordain more poison, and put it in a piece. The note at the bottom of the page reads, eft, meaning afterwards. Return to text. Page 306. And by fortune King Meliodas, her husband, found the piece with wine where was the poison, and he that was much thirsty took the piece for to drink thereout. And as he would have drunken thereof, the queen espied him, and then she ran unto him and pulled the piece from him suddenly. The king marveled why she did so, and remembered him how her son was suddenly slain with poison. And then he took her by the hand and said, "Thou false traitress, thou shalt tell me what manner of drink this is, or else I shall slay thee." And therewith he pulled out his sword and sware a great oath that he should slay her but if she told him truth. "A mercy, my lord," said she, "and I shall tell you all." And then she told him why she would have slain Tristram, because her children should rejoice his land. "Well," said King Meliodas, "and therefore shall ye have the law." And so she was damned by the assent of the barons to be burnt. And then there was made a great fire, and right as she was at the fire to take her execution, young Tristram kneeled before King Meliodas and besought him to give him a boon. "I will well," said the king again. Then said young Tristram, "Give me the life of thy queen, my stepmother."
"That is unrightly asked," said King Meliodas, "for thou ought of right to hate her, for she would have slain thee with that poison, and she might have had her will, and for thy sake most is my cause that she should die."
"Sir," said Tristram, "as for that, I beseech you of your mercy that ye will forgive it her. And as for my part, God forgive it her, and I do. And so much it liked your highness to grant me my boon, for God's love I require you hold your promise."
"Sithen it is so," said the king. "I will that ye have her life then," said the king. "I give her to you, and go ye to the fire and take her, and do with her what ye will."
So Sir Tristram went to the fire, and by the commandment of the king delivered her from the death. But after that, King Meliodas would never have ado with her as at bed and board. But by good means of young Tristram he made the king and her accorded. But then the king would not suffer young Tristram to abide no longer in his court. Page 307. Chapter 3. How Sir Tristram was sent into France, and had one to govern him named Gouvernail, and how he learned to harp, hawk, and hunt. And then he let ordain a gentleman that was well learned and taught. His name was Gouvernail. And then he sent young Tristram with Gouvernail into France to learn the language and nurture and deeds of arms. And there was Tristram more than 7 years. And then when he well could speak the language and had learned all that he might learn in that countries, then he came home to his father, King Meliodas, again. And so Tristram learned to be an harper, passing all other, that there was none such called in no country, and so in harping and on instruments of music he applied him in his youth for to learn. And after, as he growed in might and strength, he labored ever in hunting and in hawking, so that never gentleman more
that ever we heard read of. And as the book saith, he began good measures of blowing of beasts of venery and beasts of chase, and all manner of vermins, and all these terms we have yet of hawking and hunting. And therefore the book of venery, of hawking and hunting, is called the book of Sir Tristram. Wherefore, as meseemeth, all gentlemen that bearen old arms ought of right to honor Sir Tristram for the goodly terms that gentlemen have and use, and shall to the day of doom, that thereby in a manner all men of worship may dissever a gentleman from a yeoman, and from a yeoman a villain. There's a note at the bottom of the page, and dissever, meaning distinguish. Return to text. For he that gentle is will draw him unto gentle tatches, and to follow the customs of noble gentlemen. Thus Sir Tristram endured in Cornwall until he was big and strong at the age of 18 years. And then the king Meliodas had great joy of Sir Tristram, and so had the queen his wife. For ever after in her life, because Sir Tristram saved her from the fire, and she never did hate him more after, but loved him ever after, and gave Tristram many gifts. For every estate loved him, where that he went. Page 308, Chapter 4. How Sir Marhaus came out of Ireland for to ask truage of Cornwall, or else he would fight therefore. Then it befell that King Agwisance of Ireland sent unto King Mark of Cornwall for his truage that Cornwall had paid many winters, and all that time King Mark was behind of the truage for 7 years. And King Mark and his barons gave unto the messenger of Ireland these words and answer, that they would none pay, and bade the messenger go unto his king Agwisance, and tell him we will pay him no truage, but tell your lord, and he will always have truage of us of Cornwall, bid him send a trusty knight of his land that will fight for his right, and we shall find another for to defend our right. With this answer the messengers departed into Ireland, and when King Agwisance understood the answer of the messengers, he was wonderly wroth. And then he called unto him Sir Marhaus, the good knight, that was nobly proved, and a knight of the Table Round. And this Marhaus was brother unto the Queen of Ireland. Then the king said thus, Fair brother, Sir Marhaus, I pray you go into Cornwall for my sake, and do battle for our truage, that of right we ought to have. And whatsomever ye spend, ye shall have sufficiently more than ye shall need. Page 309. Sir, said Marhaus, wit ye well that I shall not be loath to do battle in the right of you and your land with the best knight of the Table Round, for I know them, for the most part, what be their deeds, and for to advance my deeds and to increase my worship, I will right gladly go into this journey for our right. So in all haste there was made purveyance for Sir Marhaus, and he had all thing that to him needed. And so he departed out of Ireland, and arrived up in Cornwall even fast by the castle of Tintagel. And when King Mark understood that he was there arrived to fight for Ireland, then made King Mark great sorrow when he understood that the good and noble knight Sir Marhaus was come, for they knew no knight that durst have ado with him. For at that time Sir Marhaus was called one of the famousest and renowned knights of the world. And thus Sir Marhaus abode in the sea, and every day he sent unto King Mark for to pay the truage that was behind of 7 year, other else to find a knight to fight with him for the truage. This manner of message Sir Marhaus sent daily unto King Mark. Then they of Cornwall let make cries in every place that what knight should fight for to save the truage of Cornwall he should be rewarded, so that he should fare the better the term of his life. Then some of the barons said to King Mark, and counseled him to send to the court of King Arthur for to seek Sir Launcelot du Lake, that was that time named for the marvellous knight of all the world. Then there were some other barons that counseled the king not to do so, and said that it was labor in vain, because Sir Marhaus was a knight of the Round Table. Therefore any of them will be loath to have ado with other, and if there were any knight at his own request would fight disguised and unknown. So the king and all his barons assented that it was no boot to seek any knight of the Round Table. This meanwhile came the language and the noise unto King Meliodas, and how that Sir Marhaus abode battle-fast by Tintagel, and how King Mark could find no manner knight to fight for him. When young Tristram heard of this, he was wroth,
and sore ashamed that there durst no knight in Cornwall have ado with Sir Marhaus of Ireland. Page 310. Chapter 5. How Tristram enterprised the battle to fight for the truage of Cornwall, and how he was made knight.